We're talking today with Dr. Gene Steiner, who's the project co-director for the Great Plains Grazing Project that's been going on a couple of years into the project now. And Gene, let's talk maybe first of all about the facility that you actually represent, the Fort Reno Ag Research Facility here in the middle of the state of Oklahoma in Canadian County. Tell me a little bit about Fort Reno and everything things that the USDA is doing here.
Okay, well, this laboratory is called the Grazing Lands Research Laboratory, and we have two groups that really have been here for a number of years. One focuses on the forage and livestock production, and the other unit has had a strong focus on water quality, water quantity, and climate variability. And increasingly, as we start looking at these integrated systems approaches to our research, those two units are coming together to really look at how the soil, the climate, the water, and the plant resources all sort of sustain these mixed grazing systems that are so important to Oklahoma agriculture.
And literally, this location is now a climate hub. Tell me about that.
Yes. About less than 2 years ago, the Secretary of Agriculture determined that we needed to establish regional hubs within USDA to help improve the ability of people to get information from USDA agencies about climate issues. Climate's a big part of a lot of programs in USDA, but it's pretty diverse, pretty scattered out. And so the hub's role is to be a coordinating voice. So we represent Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas as a Southern Plains region. And we're currently trying to recruit a director for that program. The person who led our initial efforts retired, but in the meanwhile, I'm taking on the leadership of that hub, and we're working a lot with the USDA people in these three states, the land-grant universities, the producer organizations, and other colleges and community groups. There's a lot of interest in this climate hub activity.
Of course, the central mission here, the grazing lands facility, you're working a lot with the cattle industry as far as you're helping trying to understand how the cattle industry kind of intersects with climate.
Absolutely. So every aspect of agriculture worldwide, the type of agriculture you find really goes back to the climate at that region. And the Southern Plains, it's got a very interesting and challenging climate. The beef cattle industry has been a part of our history since the settlement of this part of the world. And it's very resilient to and flexible for these variable climates we have. You can increase your animal numbers. You can move them around because they're mobile. But they're also facing a lot of difficulty. When we had the multi-year drought over a very large region, it got quite difficult to find a way to move animals. They had to go quite a lot way into the Northern Plains or some other part of the country to really sustain. And we had a lot of people that had to destock during those challenges. Now they're figuring out how to rebuild in the face of sometimes erratic flooding that's even posing a different type of challenge. So so climate and is a big issue for the beef cattle producers.
And most certainly we've lived out in the last few months the rapid change from drought to trying to deal with ample water.
Yes, and I think when I've talked to some of the other colleagues, Dr. Gene Schneider just retired from our laboratory, a meteorologist who helps stand up our climate hub. She's really looked through the history of some of the past droughts and this really rapid change where very intense storms terminate drought. That's somewhat characteristic. And the coming out of a drought, the land, the soils, and the vegetation are even more vulnerable to these intense rains than they would be in a more normal climate because the vegetation's depleted, the soils are very dry, you get a lot of risk of runoff and a lot of flash flooding, which we're seeing all over the southern plains.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this particular project, the Grazing Lands Project. Multiple-year project, multi-million dollar project, and a lot of players.
It is a very big project. We work with four universities, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, University of Oklahoma, and Tarleton State in Central Texas. And Additionally, the Noble Foundation is a key participant, and two ARS locations within USDA, Bushland, Texas, and this lab. And so there's a total of about over 70 people involved. There's 30 co-investigators that are either research or extension positions at these university and ARS and Noble Foundation locations. But we've got a lot of graduate students, undergraduate students, postdoctoral researchers who've joined the team because we've got the funding to really support quite a lot of activity. So it's really a diverse and interesting group to work with.
So you're starting to, you know, you've got 2 years under your belt now. You're in your third year. That means that you've gathered a lot of information. What have you been gathering up to this point?
Well, we have a multifaceted project. So we're looking at some long-term research at our land-grant universities, at our ARS locations, and Noble Foundation that are kind of looking at future management practices that might improve the efficiency, the nutrient use efficiency, or the animal genetic efficiency. Additionally, there's some basic information we don't really understand about these systems very well. And a big focus right now in USDA and worldwide is some of the greenhouse gases that affect the atmospheric composition that's involved in our climate. And particularly for the beef grazing systems, we don't have very good understanding of the methane emissions from cattle and how you really can change those emissions through the animal or the diet efficiencies. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to make some measurements. We've got the ability, there's a new sort of instrumentation called a green feed system that's kind of described by my animal scientists on staff as a breathalyzer for animals. So we've been operating in some of our native prairie pastures with one of our cow herds. These green feed systems are out there, and then about once or twice a day, the cattle come through, and they're able to go to this system and get just a little pellet of feed or a few pellets of feed that attract them to come in. And while they're there, the sampler pulls an air sample through an analyzer, and we get methane and carbon dioxide emissions so that you can determine that animal's emissions that day and relate it back to the quality of the forage they're on. So we're looking at that during, you know, year-round on the prairie grasses. So sometimes those have very high quality, like this right now we've got quite high-quality grass. But our animals are also on that system through the fall and winter when the forage quality is lower. So then we can look at the combinations of animal factors and plant factors and climate factors that might affect that emissions.
Of course, you know, people that are critics of animal agriculture, they like to point to that methane gas output, saying that's one of the reasons that we need to cut back on cattle, for example.
That gets a lot of attention. But people also just overlook the fact that there's a lot of land on the earth, probably 40% is in pasture land or range land or almost, you know, some of the semi-arid deserts. Mm-hmm. And there's really no agriculture that you can sustain production on other than through ruminant livestock that are able to eat these grasses and shrubs and produce a useful food product, a very high-quality food product.
Right.
And without irrigation, a lot of these areas just can't support any other type of agricultural production. So I think it's really important to make these systems as efficient as possible to really work to sustain the livelihoods of people that live in these drier regions of the globe.
So as you start gathering this type of information, the greenhouse gas data, the emissions of the animals, and the other things that you're gathering, what do you hope to start being able to do? What sort of conclusions are you looking for, and how do you translate into things that cattle producers can utilize on their operation?
Okay, well, we're actually trying to focus in several different directions. So to the producer communications, we really want to help them identify animals that might really be suited to meet the production potential of their land and really match the animals. There's a lot of some move in the industry back towards smaller framed cow calves that have lower maintenance requirement. We think this may have efficiencies in the system that could help the producers be more flexible and more resilient, particularly during those drought years.
Mm-hmm.
We think that there's some alternate forages that maybe could diversify. We use a lot of winter wheat for grazing in this area, and it has been a very useful forage and very productive for our producers for a number of years. But it does have poor soil cover during the summer when we get a lot of our intense storms and we lose a lot of our soil carbon to respiration out of the soil during those hot temperatures, hot dry seasons. So we're looking at ways to diversify with crop covers, mm-hmm. Keep the soils protected better, and perhaps have alternate forages that could be grazed in different seasons where we're currently deficient either in quantity or possibly quality of the forages that are on offer. Right. So we'd like to outreach some of that. We think we have the wonderful asset of the mesonet in this state, and the other partner states in Kansas and Texas. They've got smaller but very important climate networks that are similar. So we want to come up with ways that maybe we can use that climate information better to link back to predictions of forage quality or forage quantity for different key species in the area, just so farmers have a little bit better way to project forward as to what might be coming down a few weeks or months in the future so that they could plan their livestock operations better. There's another audience for this grant. The call for proposals required that we also do a life cycle analysis of the water, carbon, and nitrogen budgets. And part of this is oriented towards these greenhouse gas types discussions. So we're really trying to improve the equations that are used in some of those models that are in those types of analyses so mm-hmm. that when they do these national or international assessments, that they've got what we think will be more better validated numbers that they put into the equations that kind of drive those models so that we get information that's more relevant to the system we're trying to model.
And we're talking specifically about, you know, the cow-calf type operation or stocker type operation that's typical here in the Southern Great Plains.
Absolutely. There's some pretty good understanding of the efficiencies in greenhouse gas emissions in the feedlot setting, but there's very little data, very sparse, about some of these really diverse types of different pastures, different forages, different genetics of the livestock in the cow-calf system. So that's really where we're focusing on the gap-filling, that grazed environment, which is, you know, the bulk of the life cycle of our beef cattle animals.
Okay. In round numbers, you're halfway through this five-year cycle for this particular project from funded by USDA. What's the second half of the project really hold?
Well, this winter, we're going to have a couple of intensive campaigns where people come with their different micrometeorological instruments and these green feed systems I was talking about earlier and some of our soil measurements. We're going to bring all of those into the same pastures and do, you know, very intensive measurements over a week's period of time where we get really detailed measurements. Those are really important for our model validation and improvement. There's a lot of remote sensing work going on where we're trying to get a better handle on evaporation from our pastures and forages like the wheat pastures and the grass, perennial grasses. Dr. Prasanna Gowda is just joining our laboratory. He's been leading that part of the project, so he's developing mapping that are remote sensing based that will give us a better handle on evaporation, mm-hmm. which will help us with drought detection and maybe managing our lands as we're going in and out of drought cycles.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, at the end of the day, this sounds like there's going to be a lot of data out there. Again, the hope is you're able to crunch those numbers into something that producers can look at and say, hey, this is an idea I can use for my operation.
Yes, and we're having a field day October 15th of this fall. So I really hope a lot of these university partners and extension partners will be here to join the ARS scientists on our lab to communicate about the findings of this project and other activities on the research laboratory. So if there's a chance to have some of your listeners join us, we would be thrilled. And there will be a lot of information coming out, we hope, in the ag press and radio in the near future about that field day.
Okay, very good.